The scripture which you will find on the back of your bulletin is from the book of Numbers, chapter 13. We'll begin with verses 17 through 20 and then skip over to verses 30 and 31. When Moses sent them to explore Canaan, he said, "Go up through the Negev and on into the hill country. See what the land is like and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? How's the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees in it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land." It was the season for the first ripe grapes. And so they went. Then they came back. And Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are." May the Lord add his blessing to our reading of his word and our hearing of it. I think I should mention that today is Flag Day, in case you didn't know. Here we go. And despite what many of you may think, Flag Day does not commemorate the day that Joshua and Caleb planted the flag up in that hill country in a fashion similar to our soldiers on Iwo Jima. And then they went back to report to Moses. Seriously, today is Flag Day. And we are privileged to celebrate Old Glory and all of our great things that the American flag stands for. Flag Day commemorates the adoption on June 14th, 1777 of the American flag as our national flag by the Second Continental Congress, and was adopted as a national day of recognition back in the days of Woodrow Wilson. And there are lots of fascinating facts about our national flag, such as, the design of it has changed 27 times over its history, mostly, of course, by the addition of a new state. And the last change was in 1959-60, with the addition, of course, of Hawaii as our 50th state. Hawaii became a state in 1959. And then was added to the flag in 1960. And like I say, lots of interesting facts, but I'll just encourage you to look those up sometime. But for today, we have more pressing problems. Oh, that's what this sermon is about, problems. But more possibilities, and that's life. What is the difference between a problem and a possibility? Interestingly enough, it seems that the difference is people. You see, when it comes to problems, possibilities, and people, the main difference between problems and possibilities with people is not the facts that they deal with, but the interpretation they give to the facts. For instance, I recently read a story about a shoe salesman who was sent many years ago to an undeveloped country in Africa to open a new sales territory. That was many years ago, before today's instant communications of telephone or or the internet and emails, and all they had was telegraph. And so that was the fastest communication they had. So he wired back, said there was no possibility of doing business there because no one wore shoes. Well, he was recalled, and the company sent another salesman to see if he could do better. In just a few days, they received an enthusiastic telegram with a big order and the message, "Possibilities unlimited. No one has shoes. Stand by for many additional orders." The difference, you see, was simply in the way that the two salesmen looked at the facts before them. And fast forward to today. Sunday, June the 14th, I get on the internet early on Sunday morning, and I was on there early this morning, and I checked in on Facebook as I was finishing out this message for today. I don't normally check on Facebook. As a matter of fact, I rarely look at Facebook, and usually only to catch up with the latest on Josh and James. Don't tell them that. I'm sure they know. Josh is in Tennessee right now. And so I thought I'd see what he's up to. And yes, there were several posts there, none of which I fully understand since he's working the audio sound stuff at a national music festival, Bonnaroo. But right after one of his posts, there was a post by a young couple. The husband was one of my high school students back in 2005 and 6. And they were holding a baby. Soon I'd learned a few weeks ago that they were expecting. And what I read as their post was written by the husband was not at all what I was expecting. They were holding this baby, and he named the newborn, and then he said that the little boy was their 5.6 ounce, 6-inch son. Who is not with them now, but would always be in their hearts. Then I understood that 6-inch premature birth. And what he said was so illustrative of what I have described as the people difference. People difference between problems and possibilities. What I said was, you remember, the main difference between problems and possibilities with people is not the facts they deal with, but the interpretation they give to the facts. And I was so proud. I was so blessed by this young couple who took the heart-rending problem of a stillborn infant. And instead of broadcasting their broken hearts, they chose instead to witness to their faith belief that one day in heaven, they'd be reunited with this precious little son. You see, that was their godly interpretation of some awesome faith facts. Excuse me. Get a little emotional about that. Harry Emerson Fosdick once said, "Not so much what life brings us in her hands, but what as it is to what we bring life in our spirits that makes the difference between people." And folks, in these troubled times in America today, the Church of Jesus Christ needs to step up and step out in leadership of bringing a new spirit, a new interpretation of hope in God to the possibilities of the future of this great God-inspired land. Our forefathers believed from our beginnings as a nation that this great nation of 13 new states had limitless possibilities. Possibilities under God, I might add. And we need to interpret our future in that same spirit. In our text for this morning from the book of Numbers, we read about the different interpretation given by each of the 12 spies Moses sent to explore Canaan ahead of them, the promised land, and the possibilities ahead by two of them of a long-time wandering people of Israel. Their purpose in spying out the land was not to determine if the land could be taken. That had already been decided. It was to determine how best to accomplish the task. All 12 of them found the land to be an exceedingly good land, flowing with milk and honey. And all of them also saw what they described as the giants, the sons of Anak. But two of them, Caleb and Joshua, saw these giants through the scope of the light of God and therefore were in no sense terrified by them. Numbers, in the 14th chapter, verse 9, declares the daring faith of those two. Do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. King James interprets that they are our bread. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. The people of the land represented to their faith sight, to Caleb and Joshua's faith sight, only an opportunity, a possibility. But when the other 10 spies saw them, these giants, they had been completely unnerved. We were in our own sight as grasshoppers, they had wailed pitifully, and so we were in their sight. Chapter 13, verse 33. The only contribution that they could make upon their return was one of problems, of discouragement, of despair. So the question comes to us as a nation on this Flag Day, and the question always comes to us in life as individuals. As you face up to life, will you see only the problems? Well, they're there, all right. Or will you see beyond to the possibilities? Well, sometimes, and sadly, that sometimes is certainly sadly, we see only the problems of life. Sometimes we really are like the 10 unfaithful spies. All we can see is the problems. You know, as bona fide members of the human race, we do tend to be very problem conscious. Just think about it. We have a pretty keen realization of our social problems, of our domestic problems, of our church problems, of our governmental problems, of our international problems, and of course a keen awareness of our individual personal problems. The truth is, we really do have problems. Call them what you will. Difficulties, dilemmas, setbacks, hindrances, obstacles, snags, puzzles, challenges, hitches, glitches. I could go on for a while. We can't just ignore what they are. They're something of a problem to us. But we can't stop at that first step. just a recognition that we have a problem, that we have a challenge or a glitch in our future plans. You see, we can't be stuck immobile by overemphasizing a difficulty and become so conscious of the obstacle, an obstacle to going forward, and be so fearful, as were those spies, as to be paralyzed, as to be stuck. Actually, however, this "I can't move now" attitude toward life shows up all the time. I hear some examples that I've encountered as a pastor. Excuse me. A person who is considering accepting Christ as Savior, but stalls and hesitates and eventually turns away because he thinks he has to, but he can't live a godly life. A person looking seriously at Christian stewardship, but doesn't go ahead and tithe his income because he can't understand how he can pay his bills and tithe too. Or a student on our campus who is challenged with the possibility of getting serious about Christian commitment, but can't see beyond the possibility of ridicule or shunning of their current friends. Or a student who's considering a mission or ministry project, but fears incompetence and thus failure, and therefore ends up doing nothing. All of these were real people who shared a similar problem, fear of being a failure at the possibility offered to them, a great possibility that would have moved them beyond the problem. What they should have been fearful of was failing to trust God and thus disobeying Him by not doing what He commands. And you know, the response of God is always the same, as it was all the way back to this time with Moses and the faithless Israelites. Listen to Numbers 14, especially as illustrated by verse 11. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'How long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me with all the signs I have performed among them?'" Quite often, looking at the problems of life, we settle down and do nothing, just as when this happened to Israel. And too often, we who see only the problems are to be found in the same boat as the 10 faithless spies. But enough of that. Now the good news. Sometimes we can mimic Caleb and Joshua and face up to life and see the possibilities. Caleb and Joshua saw the possibilities because, unlike the other spies, they were not obsessed with the problems. What does it take to be able to, for us to move beyond the problem and to see the possibilities that are out there? Well, let me suggest three necessary ingredients to see those possibilities: a sense of mission, a vision of strength, and real dependence on that strength, which is God. So, to see the possibilities in life, we need a sense of mission. Joshua and Caleb had a sense of mission about what they were to do. Their mission, as they understood it from Moses, was to find a way into the land, not to simply report the challenges or to see the difficulties. Speaking of mission, I recently read about one of the most strange examples of somehow missing the mission through a misunderstanding. And it's so strange, I just had to incorporate it here as an illustration. On the border. Now, listen carefully at where this is. At Kingston, Ontario, Canada. There's an old fort with guns pointing the wrong way. Very obviously, away from the direction the fort would have to be defended if it were attacked. That's right, I said the guns to defend the fort are pointing the wrong way, and it was so absurd that even though it's an old fort, they still are. And here's why they wound up that way. The story is that two forts were designed in England at the same time. The master plan for each one of them. One fort was for Kingston, Jamaica. And the other fort was for Kingston, Ontario, Canada. And by some military snafu, because they didn't have the internet back then, the plans got switched in shipment, and the fort at Kingston, Canada, is facing the direction east, the way the one in Kingston, Jamaica was intended for Canada, the wrong way. It appears obvious that everyone in charge of building the fort in Canada lacked any sense of mission of that fort, or they would have declined to build it wrong. They were smarter in Jamaica. They got the wrong direction too, but they built it right. Thus, with no sense of mission, and thus working on the wrong things, a person is not going to see the right possibilities of life ahead of them. A second thing we need to see the possibilities of life is a vision of strength. Now, a person's self-concept has a lot to do with what he or she is or does. A person who thinks that he or she is a failure is already headed toward being a failure. The 10 unfaithful spies saw themselves as grasshoppers in the eyes of the inhabitants of the Promised Land. Then they saw themselves in the same way, as insignificant, as too weak to act. But Joshua and Caleb didn't agree with that vision of weakness. "We are well able to overcome," they said. They had a vision of strength. And most importantly, their faith was in the strength of the Lord. This was their report to Moses and the people. "If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us. The Lord is with us. Do not fear them." Numbers 14, 8 and 9. The testimony of Jesus was a truth already acknowledged early on by Joshua and Caleb. Jesus said, "Nothing is impossible with God." It is not by our strength, but by God's that we overcome. The testimony of Joshua and Caleb is for us to live by. If God approves a plan, if the Lord delights in us, they said, if God approves a plan, he will provide the power to carry it out. Amen. And that's the gist of the third way we need to see the possibilities of life. We need dependence on God. The key to Caleb and Joshua view was dependence on God. You see, they knew as much about the land and as much about the children of Israel as the other spies. They all knew the same amount. And they knew that if they depended on their own strength, they too would have been discouraged. But they were willing to depend on God. And this is so important. Now I want to repeat one more time how they expressed their dependence. You don't have this printed for you, but you can read this later in your own Bible. In Numbers 14, 8 and 9. "If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us." How will you approach life? Or maybe I should have phrased that as, how will you face up to life? Because Life presents all of us with problems. But beyond that, faith in God presents us with possibilities. And we can look at the problems, get stuck, and be defeated, or look beyond them to the possibilities and move ahead with God. God leading the way for us. So how do you interpret life? How much do you trust in God? Makes me want to be called a Caleb or a Joshua. Amen.